We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. We want to thank you for tuning in today. And like I promised you last week, I told you we would be bringing you a report of what happened this last weekend on our missions convention. And it was truly wonderful. It really was. And I want to say thank you to all the listeners out there who have been bringing by clothing and blankets for the Save Ukraine Now project. We are going to continue to be receiving those things for the next couple of weeks. We have been told, and if you could help us with this would be greatly appreciated. And I didn't find out this until just the other day, that any donations that come in, all of them have to be itemized. So if you bring in a garbage bag filled with clothing or blankets, each item has to be itemized. Like if there's six jackets in there, we've got to put on the piece of paper on the outside, there are six jackets, and that has to be done for every bag. And if you can't do that, that is okay. We're going to have a ministry night at our church where we're going to set up some tables, and everything that's not already labeled, we are going to dump it out on the table. We'll put them in garbage bags and label them and say there's three blankets in here, or six coats, or seven blouses, or whatever it might be. Thank you very, very much for all the people who have brought in donations. We had people bringing them in before Sunday. On Sunday, we had two very, very touching stories, and I just want to share this with you because I believe it is, I believe it represents the heart of God. We had two dear sisters, and they brought in a couple of items. One of them brought in the coat of her mother. Her mother passed away, and her mother was the glue that held the family together. She was a caregiver. She was always nurturing people. And this dear sister brought in her mother's coat because she said, I've hung on to it for all of these years. And she just said, I just felt like God wanted me to give that coat. And I want you to know that mother is still reaching out and providing nurturing care to people halfway around the world who are in desperate need. And that was a very touching story. And that was followed up by another lady who said, I brought in a blanket that had special memories in her life. And it was the same thing. I just felt like God said, I couldn't hold on to this any longer. I needed to put it to use rather than just being something in my memory bank. And so those were just two of the touching stories from members in our congregation. But then the other day, let's see, what day was it? It was Monday. We had a lady who had heard about it here on the radio program, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having a heart for those in need. And this lady had called last week, and I'm sorry, I don't know her name. She called last week, and she brought up an entire minivan filled with clothing items in order to give to those who are in need. And she had gone to her friends and her neighbors and stuff like that, collected it. And that's wonderful and marvelous in itself. here's what really touched my heart and made me go, wow. And that was, she traveled all the way up from the southernmost part of Brevard County. She told my secretary it was about an hour and a half drive, and that would be each way, in order for her to bring those things up. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who participated in that. And like I said, we're going to still be collecting items for a few more weeks, and just to make sure that we can get as much as we can, and then we will be partnering with other churches to ship out that container to the Ukraine, Save Ukraine Now. The last report that I got was that there are now 1.5 million refugees that have been displaced from their homes in Ukraine. So we've got a serious, serious situation that is going on there. We want to say thank you to Jits Concrete for helping to bring this broadcast to you today. They do excellent work, and if you need any block or concrete work done, you can reach Greg at 536-5804. Again, that number is 536-5804. Ask for Greg. Tell him you heard about their company on the Refresh Radio broadcast, if you would. I want to get into the Word today. We're going to probably finish up this week on God's gifts. Give us this day our daily bread. Just a few passages. Now, I want to take you to the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. The 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. Do want to remind you also about today. Our vintage service will be at 11 a.m. We just had our carpet shampooed yesterday, and so our seats are not going to be all in, you know, their normal places, but we're going to have enough seats out for everybody that wants to come and worship the Lord and sing some hymns and touch the throne of heaven with their prayers and praise reports. And then tonight we will have our kids ministry, boys and girls ministry. We're excited about that. Let me take you to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter and the 37th. Well, let's start reading in verse 36. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell in safety, or to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do good, and I will assuredly plant them in the land with all my heart and with all my soul. This was a promise that was given to the captives who were carried off into Babylon. It is a promise that God is going to call them back, that he is going to call them back to their inheritance, and that he will gather them to himself. He says, I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. I do want to ask that if you would join us in praying for the Christians around the globe, the persecuted church. Right now, there is a tremendous attack on persecuted Christians. I saw a video clip yesterday. It had to be translated and closed captioned on the bottom in order for me to be able to understand it. But I'm going to be sharing that video clip on Sunday with our congregation, because it is just so powerful. It is the family member of some of the Christians that were killed in Libya, simply because they were Christians. And the thing about that is so moving is that the audio records the last words that some of those captives spoke just right before they were killed. And the last word on their lips was Jesus. The last word on their lips was Jesus. I want to ask you today, what's going to be the last word on your lips? What's going to be the last word on your lips? And you might have it in your head what you would say, but I want you to understand that at that point in time, if it ever comes to that place, that it's not what's in your head that's going to come out of your mouth. It is what is in your heart. And that's kind of what I want to talk about here in the 38th chapter, or the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. The 37th verse says, I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. That is the most important thing. You see, it doesn't matter to me where I live. What I have found is that wherever I live, if God is living in my heart, I've got family there. Even if I don't have any other believers around me, I've got family because God is my Father. And God was looking to bring people back, not with the same depraved or idolatrous heart or unfaithful heart that sent them into captivity. He was looking to bring them back with a transformed heart and with a transformed life. It says, they shall be my God and I will be their, they shall be my people and I will be their God. Then I will give them, and this is what I want to focus on. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. In the NIV, it says, that he will give them singleness of heart and action for our good and our children. He'll give them singleness of heart and of action. Here in the New King James Version, it says, I will give them one heart. You see, I believe that is so important that we have one heart. I've got written down here in my notes a thing from when my wife and I were just brand new parents for the very first time. And I'll be honest with you, my wife, she is an excellent mother. I was trying to learn from her all of the things to do. And there's some funny stories. I'd watch how she could change a diaper. We didn't have a lot of resources at that point in time. And so we thought we would try and save some money by using some cloth diapers, and she was just a pro at putting on a cloth diaper. It was just amazing, and I'd watch how she would do it, and I would say I did it, and I'd hold my son up, and that diaper would just fall right to the floor. I just never did get the hang of it, so I would watch her, and she, you know, whenever she would hold our son, he would just go right to sleep, and so then, you know, the next time he was disturbed or crying, I would try and implement exactly the same position and the same technique that my wife used, and it just did not work for him. And finally, it dawned on me. I don't know if it was something she said. I don't know if it was something someone else told me, or if it was just a realization that what was so comforting to our son was that when she held him to her chest, that he was listening to her heart, and it was the heart that he had grown. It was the heart that had conceived him. It was the heart that he had grown up in the womb and developed hearing. He was used to hearing that heartbeat, and as long as he heard that heartbeat, he knew that everything was going to be okay. That when I put him on my chest, it's fine, it's well, it's good, but it wasn't mom's heart. And so he didn't have the same assurance and the same safety that he had when he was on my chest as he had when he was on hers. And I want you to know today that when God wants to give us singleness of heart, when he wants to give us one heart or one mind, it is not your heart that he's looking to give us. It is not my heart that he's looking to give us. It is his heart. It is his heart because he is the one, just like my wife, he is our creator. It is his heartbeat of compassion for us and for others that brings us to that place and says, you know what? This feels like home. And you and I, it is not because we are just infants. We were created with a hunger inside of us for the heartbeat of God. As a church, our heartbeat as a church should be the heart of God. And that is that God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's heart beats for people to be in fellowship and relationship with him. And so it says that he will give them singleness of heart, but it doesn't stop there. It says that he will also have them, he will give them one way or a singleness of action. There will be one action plan. When they built the Tower of Babel, God says they're speaking the same language. They are pursuing the same purpose. It wasn't God's purpose, but they were pursuing it. But because they spoke the same language and they had the same purpose, God said to them, nothing shall be impossible for them. So come, let's go down and let's scatter them and confuse their language because the thing was, they were doing something that God had not told them to do. God hadn't told them to build the Tower of Babel. They were trying to make a name for themselves. My purpose here on the radio is not to make a name for Bob Arthur's, but to make the name of Jesus known and to be known greatly across the globe and right here in Brevard County. So it says here that when God gives them one heart, that's his heart, one action plan, that is his action plan, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. God gives us that so that we would hold him in reverence and in awe, so that in our hearts, we do not have it within us a desire to depart from him. In other words, this one heart and this one action plan is to be as close to Jesus as we could possibly be. To develop our lifestyle in correlation with his lifestyle. To have our way of living line up with his way of living. You can go off and do your own thing, but you are not going to get the same results that you would get when God has one heart and one action plan for you. You know, it is true. You are created with a free will, with a free choice. You can make the decisions that you want. I was having a conversation with our missionary this last week, and he was sharing some stories from history about people who, no matter what they were going through, they never complained about the weather. They never complained about the hardships they were going through. They never complained about the luxuries that they were going through. And it was all because they realized that God had given them exactly what they needed for that day, and that they weren't going to die until the day God told them that today is the day that you are going to be summoned in my presence. And they just had such confidence in the goodness and the graciousness of God. And so it says that they would have one heart for that they would fear God forever, they would hold him in awe, and it would be for the good of them and their children after them. Parents, I want you to know that one of the best gifts that you could give to your children is for you to live in awe of God. See, most people in our society right now live as if there is not coming a day of accountability. They live as if there is no God. They live as if there's no future. They live as if they're never going to have to give an account. It is very much like the day of Judges, where it says every man did what was right in his own eyes. It says that on a couple of occasions. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And I see that going on in modern America. I hear not Christian people, but I hear secular people talking about how lawless our society is becoming. Everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. We're not authorized to do that. We're going to do it anyway. We're not permitted to do that. We're going to do it anyway. And so what you and I need to realize is that when God gives us that heart for Him, the heart of doing things His way, His action plan for our life, that it is not only going to yield benefits for us, it is going to yield benefits for our children. You are the role model that your child is going to be most influenced by. Make sure it is a good one, and make sure that you show them what it is like to have a heart after God. I want to move on here because the time is getting away. And here's what God says: "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them." This is the people who he brought back, and He's giving them a heart and an action plan that they would revere Him. And it says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from doing them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me." There's that "not depart from me." God gives us a fear of Him and awe of Him because we recognize at that point, like Peter, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. God says that His covenant, wow, if just society could just realize that being in covenant relationship with God is not meant to make us miserable, it is not meant as a way of depriving us, but instead it is entering into a covenant with God who says, "My covenant will be that I will do them good." Instead of thinking of God as our enemy, He says, "My covenant will be to do you good." Verse number 41 extrapolates over that, and it says, "Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good." Not only will God do us good because it's in the contract, but it brings the Father pleasure when you and I we come back and we've allowed God to transform us to where now our heart beats as His heart beats. His laws are written upon our heart. We have the action plan to do what God has called us and placed us on this earth to do. And God says, when you have found that place, I rejoice to do you good. Not just because it's in covenant. So many times we come to God and say, "God, You said it in Your word, it's covenant." But you've got to understand, God is not fulfilling His covenant reluctantly. He is fulfilling His covenant obligations to bless us and do us good with great joy. He says, "I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul." So many people are terrified of the will of God. Well, what if God calls me to this place and I don't really want to go to this place? Well, you know what? I have found that the best place I could possibly be is exactly where God placed me. That to be exactly where God wants me to be is, I mean, it is a thrill. It is a blessing. And, you know, I think of a saying I heard a long time ago. And this preacher said, "I come from such and such state. We have a lot of septic tanks out there. And what we have found is that the grass is greener right over the septic tank." It's not because it's necessarily the best place, but some people are drawn to things simply because of appearance. I want to be drawn to a place because God says, "This is the place that I have for you." On this broadcast right now, We are committed to this broadcast because we believe that God has placed us here for such a time as this to speak into your life. He says, "I will assuredly plant them in this land." God will plant you where He wants you, where He has given you a plan of action for that place. He will plant you. He says, I will assuredly plant them in this land. And He goes on and He says, "with all my heart and with all my soul." And I've got two different thoughts here on this, and I've only got a couple of minutes here. First of all, that whenever you do something, you should do it with all your heart, with all your soul. You do it to the glory of God. And that's exactly the way that God has planted you. He has planted you with full intentionality. You are not a cosmic accident. You are not a misfit. You are not a misplace. God plants you where he wants you to be, a display of his beauty. God does that with all of his heart and with all of his soul. He didn't do it haphazardly. He did it absolutely intentionally. The second thing that I wanted to point out is whenever I go to plant something, and I do that on occasion, I haven't got to do that thus far this year, and you know, time may slip away from me to where I don't get to do it. But whenever I plant something, I make sure that along with the plant, I put everything in the soil around that plant that is going to provide it with the nutrition and the resources that it need, that plant is going to thrive. That's what I do. I make sure that it's not planted there all by itself, but it is planted, you know, that it has the water, that it has the fertilizer, the nutrition, the proper pH balance and all that. Because if everything that plant needs is there with it, then it's going to succeed. And God says that when he will plant us, I don't believe it just means that he will plant us with intentionality, but that he does it, and along with us, he is going to put in that place all of his heart and all of his soul. Everything that God has is there with you. God promises in his word that he will make the desert bloom. How does he do that? Because he plants a people in that place, and he plants along with them his heart, his soul, his resources, his joy, his peace, his provision, and it is absolutely the best place. I want to change your perspective of where you are. Right now, if you're a child of God, if you are walking in covenant with him, understand this. God is watching over you to do you good, and understand that with you in whatever trial, whatever thing you are going through, God is there wholeheartedly with all of his soul. He is there with you. I'm going to close in prayer now. Father, I just pray right now that whatever people are going through, Lord, that right now there would be an amen word that comes to them, that they would know that when they entered into covenant with you, you are watching over them to do good. You have covenanted with them to do them good. You have divinely placed them, and you have committed all of yourself to be with them, to make them fruitful and be blessed. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."